Welcome to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? How does it differ from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I interview homeschooling families across the country to unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. And with us today, we have Trent Talbot, founder and CEO of Brave Books. Trent, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, happy to be here.
So I was just talking to you a little bit before we hit record. Brave Books, it's now coming up on my social media sites, and I hadn't heard of it before, but the books look really interesting. I'm excited to talk to you today about it. Let's start out with just me asking my typical questions, though. Do you homeschool, and what sort of experience do you have with the homeschool world?
Well, yeah, about 60% of our customers are homeschool families. So I've gotten very familiar with the homeschool world. I guess you could say we're homeschooling. We plan on homeschooling. My oldest is three. So we have school time. It's 20 minutes with her. But yeah, we plan on homeschooling. So we're starting to do our research and figuring out, you know, the different curriculums and things like that.
Well, hopefully you'll check out this podcast, because that's kind of how I got started with my son. He was three and they started masking in daycare, and we were like, no, we're not doing that. So he's coming out of daycare. And then it was like, well, if we don't have the ability to say no about something covering his face as parents, you know, what other rights are going to be taken away as he goes through the school system through the years? So that's really when I started looking into homeschooling and, you know, going to different playgroups and such. So from there, I started talking to different homeschooling families. And, you know, one day I kind of said to myself, well, if I'm having these questions, other parents are probably having the same questions. So why don't I put it into a podcast? And people just started listening, thankfully. So, okay, my next question for you is, I mean, it's no secret, I am an affiliate for the Tuttle Twins, and you kind of have like the same sort of genre of their books, or no? I mean, I know I started looking into them when I started seeing books like promoting the gay BCs on the shelves at Barnes & Noble. So I think that's what turned a lot of people into the books like the Tuttle Twins.
Yeah. So as far as, let me start with the what we do and what type of books we have. Tuttle Twins, they're a little bit for an older audience than us. They're seems like 8 to 12 is where they really make their hay. And they're a little bit more academic. They do things like civics and law. We're target a little bit younger crowd, like the 3 to 10 range. And it's more like the cultural stuff, like the morals, character. You know, we're not scared of covering things like, you know, gender reality, the sanctity of life, things like that. We're a Christian company, and we don't hide that. And so we wanted, the heart behind Brave Books is we wanted to create tools, resources for parents to help reinforce the values that they believe in. And when I say parents, I specifically mean Christian conservative parents. And, you know, because we can't shelter our kids, that's a failing strategy. Our best hope is to equip them with truth and instill, you know, the values and character and ideas, you know, that are true, so that whenever they go out in the world and they're confronted with, you know, some of these ideas that are out there, they can easily discern, nope, that's not right. And help them discern truth from lies. And so that's what Brave Books does. We have this whole subscription model. Our vision for the future is for the next 50 to 100 years, when Christian conservative parents or grandparents, when their kiddos hit 3 to 5 years old, they start their subscription. And every single book that we write takes place in the Freedom Island universe. And so they start with picture books, and they get a new picture book every single month, and it follows the good guys, Team Brave, Bongo, Rebel, Asher, Valor, and Eva. They're animal characters. So it's an animal world in a place called Freedom Island. And they have a lot of drama with the villains. We've got Blackheart, Culture the Vulture, all these really great villains. And yeah, kids just love the world that we built. And so they get a new book every single month that, you know, we pray will bring families together, get them off screens, read a good book. In the back of the book, we have games and discussion questions to help start those conversations on these important topics. And every book teaches a new value, whether it's importance of honesty, being courageous, overcoming fear, hard work, importance of family, all those sort of just core traditional biblical values. And our vision is for 50 months, they get this picture book. And when the kiddo hits like 7, 8, after the 50 picture books, it switches over to 2 chapter books a month. So really they grow with these characters in this world from the time they're 3 to 4 to the time they're in their teens. And, you know, the topics mature with the kids. With that many books, we have the opportunity to really help get these important values, ideas, you know, help them learn those and really build a solid foundation of truth that will last for the rest of their lives.
Oh, so cool. I really love that they grow with it, because the things that have done really well, like the Harry Potter and stuff, I feel like, the Hunger Games, you get to know those characters and grow with them and feel like you know them on another level. And that's something that kids really love. They love latching on to that and growing with them. And then they don't even realize that they're learning these values at the same time. But parents can be confident that what they're learning is not the ABCs.
Yeah, it's crazy what's going on out there. And kids crave letting their imaginations run wild. And we as parents, we know it just creates a little sparkle in their eye. They love it. And we love seeing that in our kids. We love their imagination running wild, and we love them to get lost in worlds. But the problem is right now, and really until, in my opinion, Brave Books, there wasn't a world, a universe with this overarching narrative that really sparks their imagination that parents can trust fully with their children's imagination. And so that's what we want to do. We wanted to create that space for kids to just get lost in a world, but parents to trust that not only is it a safe space, but really with every book, their morality, their character is being shaped in a positive way.
So who are the authors? Are you writing all of these books yourself?
Yeah. So we have co-authors, and it's a very collaborative process with our co-authors, because they're like topical experts. So Kirk Cameron, he's a expert on biblical truth and biblical wisdom. And so we get, and that's what he wanted his first book to be about. So we get with him. I'm like, all right, what do you want kids to take away from this book? And then so he explains that to us. We're like, all right. And then we bring it into the Freedom Island universe and into the overarching narrative that we're creating. And then we come up with a few ideas. We toss it to him. He's like, ooh, I like this. And then it's like this back and forth to make sure that it stays true to our brand, our world, our characters, but also conveys the lesson that he wants to convey. And so it's just very collaborative.
That's awesome. Yes. And I know he has a homeschooling moving out too, kind of letting people in on the homeschooling world. I haven't been able to watch it though, because I think they only played it in select theaters. And when you have little kids, there's just really no way to get to a theater, but that's something cool to check out too. And so, okay, I've had a couple of authors on this podcast, and I myself have tried the book writing process. It's a lot harder than you would think, especially when you have one or two that you wanted to get out to kids each month. I would feel like that's a lot of pressure. Yeah. So kudos to you. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
So how did you even step into this world? Were you an author before? Were you a CEO before?
No, I was an eye surgeon.
Okay. Well, that's a logical next step.
Right. Yeah. I was an ophthalmologist doing cataract surgeries for 11, but I didn't really love it. I don't know. I'm naturally very creative, and I didn't really appreciate that about myself until I got into medicine. And I, you know, my days were going to one patient's room to the next, to the next, to the next, and just going in this circle. Room 1, room 2, room 3, room 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And they all had the same problems. And so it was just very repetitive. And then, so I have that going on where I'm just like, I feel beat down at the end of every day. And then I was saved about 5 years ago. Right after I was saved, I found the love of my life, Bethany. And we got married 6 months after we met, and then she got pregnant very shortly after that. And so my oldest daughter, Charlotte, was born in the summer of 2020. And I was totally blind to this whole, you know, culture war on our kids. But when she was born, it was like everywhere I turn, I'm seeing it at Barnes & Noble, seeing it. The number one book on Amazon was Anti-Racist Baby. My best friend's 7-year-old daughter was gifted the latest Nancy Drew book, which had a trans character. It was just like every day it was something new. What in the world? And for whatever reason, this, I couldn't just let it go. And this idea for Brave Books and Freedom Island started to come to me, and it seemed like it was a need, and it'd be a real, be a fun adventure if I went down that path. And I chose to go down that path. And it's been a lot of fun. It has been a whirlwind. It's been a little over 2 years, and we've done a lot in 2 years.
So this is exciting to kind of see this take off at the ground level. And I think a lot of parents, myself included, you know, we're having that awakening that, like in my house, I worked for the government for 15 years now. And, you know, all I've been hearing for 15 years is 20 more years and you'll get a pension, 18 more years and you'll get a pension. And now I'm 15 years away from the pension. And then I have my kids, and it's like, okay, well, you're printing money every single day with nothing to back it. So what is this pension even gonna mean for me when I'm 55 or 60 years old? You know, my kids will be out of the house by then. What am I even gonna need good money for at that point? You know, and I know that sounds kind of silly to say, but like, yeah, money's always good, but it's society programming us to think you need this amount by this age, or, you know, these goals by this time. So like, who even picked these goals for us? You know, it's taken a couple of years for me to think this all through, but what's the worst that can happen? Like, if you left your job, okay, well, I'm going to spend more time with my children. All right. Well, has anybody ever been on their deathbed and thought, man, I spent too much time with my kids? Probably not, especially when money just seems to not have any value anyway. Like, let's bring the things in our life that we value most together. And I have people say to me all the time, oh my gosh, I can't believe that you would leave a government job. But I've been on maternity leave for over a year now. Nobody's batted an eyelash that I've been gone. Without me there, life goes on. Somebody else picks it up. I'm totally replaceable. But at home, I can't even leave my 1-year-old for a couple of hours without her screaming because she misses me or needs that comfort. So that need in someone else's life is a beautiful thing. And I think that's part of the programming too in society, is just to belittle that familial bond, you know, whether it be with a spouse or parents or children. You know, that's what's important. And now that I'm home with my kids every day, and I wasn't for my son, so he went to daycare while I was at work, and I'm just seeing such a difference. Like, it breaks my heart to know that some parents, you know, they do what they have to do, but other parents, they don't know any better. Like, we were just programmed to think this is the way. And I was the same way. I didn't know that, you know, you could make adjustments and stay home or have the courage to leave a career. But once you're home and you see the things that you would have missed out on had you been at work, you just say to yourself, wow, like, there, it is just so unnatural to be missing these moments.
Yeah, no, it's not the way to go.
It's so crazy what this world has come to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The family unit's under attack, you know, in so many ways. And, you know, what you've been referencing is how the family unit's under economic attack, you know, where it's hard for the mom to stay home and watch the kids. It's much harder than it used to be. But it's so important. It's so important for their development to have just have that family time. And because nobody cares about kids like a mom or a father. And it's something that's been taken from most kids. And it's really sad.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. I hope you are enjoying this week's episode as much as I am. I would like to offer you all 15% off of the Brave Book subscription. If you would like to take me up on that, please head over to my description for the show. I will have the link and the code for you to head on over and grab your subscription of Brave Books. I am so excited to receive our first book. The link is shop.bravebooks.us/thehomeschoolhowto with promo code The Homeschool How To. And like I said, you can head on over to the show's description. I will have the link and code right in there. Please be sure to let me know what you think of the books by leaving us a review.
We like to sort of make fun of millennials or Gen Z and say, oh gosh, they're a mess. Well, why do you think they ended up like that? It's because the family unit has just been so eroded through you know, countless ways, but that's a big one right there.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because growing up, I mean, we didn't have an easy childhood by any means, but the difference that I kind of saw around me between myself and other kids was that I had two parents in the household. So, I mean, take it for what it was, that made a difference. I mean, my father had like mental issues. He was an alcoholic, but just having two bodies in the house, like you couldn't get away with much, you know, or I don't know. I could just see a difference in the choices I made compared to other people because I had two people there.
Yeah. God's design for marriage and the family is the best. It's how it's supposed to go. So many benefits.
And it's funny too, when you think about, you know, the 60s women's movement, pushing the women into the workforce, and kind of even what that has done, not only taking the woman out of the household so that she's not home to have those bonds with her children, make healthy food for her family, take pride in the home, but also I bet that has had some sort of impact on divorce. I had a great conversation with a friend who said marriage was never meant to have the state involved. Like it was supposed to be a husband, a wife, and the Bible, and, you know, and God written in the Bible. That was your marriage. You wrote it in the Bible. There was nothing filed with anyone. And then somehow the government has gotten it so that we are begging for them to be involved in our marriages. They dangle the carrot of the quote unquote tax break or health insurance premium over our heads. And then that's led to groups like the LGBTQ community protesting to please stay, allow us to marry. We'll fight for this right. And the fact that it's always been meant to be between a man, a woman, and God as a religious thing written in the Bible. So what a psychological operation that is, right? Somehow the state inserts themselves and gets all these people to buy in and actually beg for their involvement in our relationships and our families. It's absolutely crazy what it's gone from.
Well, when I think of marriage, I definitely do not think of it as the government being involved. I think of it as it's an oath that me and my wife made to God and to each other. But the community, you know, there's a lot of people at a marriage, you know, so it's also making that oath and commitment to God in front of your community. That's the traditional way, you know, and how marriage has always been thought of. It's a commitment to each other, a commitment to God, and really a commitment made in front of your community, your family and friends. And families were meant to live life in a communal way with extended family, helping out with kids, with your friends helping out. It's so another big way that the family unit's under attack is just, you know, the families are so isolated. Everybody's moving all over for their careers and they're moving to cities that they don't know anybody. And then they're just trying to do it all themselves. And it's not meant to, that's not how it's meant to be done. That's too exhausting. I mean, it can be done, but it's exhausting and it's very difficult. You know, when you're living life with the extended family and next door neighbors where they're friends, and it's easier and it's more enjoyable. And so that's something me and my wife were really fighting to, but it's hard because everybody's sort of in this isolated, and that's sort of how our culture, that's how they think it should be done. We're trying to fight against that and live life with other families in a closer way with our extended family. But it is a challenge.
Yeah. And it wasn't that long ago that was the norm, right? Like when my grandmother, I mean, she immigrated from Poland. So I guess, I mean, maybe it was when people were coming to America, but I mean, generations did live with each other and grandparents helped out with the grandkids and, you know, mom was home. You're totally right. And like in a generation or two, it went from these generations of families and community helping raise the kids, you know, the village raises the family, and to go from that to just, okay, you go to work, someone else raises the kids. You know, I've talked about this before, but I don't know who that benefited if it wasn't to get just a bigger tax base for our government. They got a hold of our kids earlier on. They kind of broke the family down. It didn't do much for the family to have mom at work. I don't know about you. Now that I've seen both ways, I can be a mom at work with someone else raising my kids, or I can be home and watch them. Like, it's definitely harder to be home because you have to like keep everybody alive all the time. There's no breaks, but it's so much more satisfying. And maybe that's just the job I had, but I've had many different jobs in government over 15 years. And it was always just sitting in a cubicle, pushing papers or whatnot. I wasn't saving anyone's lives. I wasn't changing anyone's lives.
Yeah, for sure. But we can't fall victim into thinking that we don't have control, you know, because ultimately we do. And they can have whatever plans, schemes, but at the end of the day, God entrusted us as parents with our kids and gave us everything that we need to do that job well. And it really is just a matter of making the decision like, hey, I'm going to do right by my kids and making it happen. Part of the reason for Brave Books is it's very difficult. And so we need tools, we need resources to help. And so that can come in a lot of different ways. It can come from extended family, community, it can come from a church. It can come from good homeschool curriculums, you know, co-ops. And where Brave Books comes in is it's designed to get the family off screen, centered around a fun story that transmits values that really prepare them, you know, for the future to instill that truth. I don't know what label you want to give this movement. It seems Christian sort of led, but it's not only Christians, but you know, this community, we need to create more and more resources and tools to make it easier, because we're going down, it's not the well-worn easy path. It is the more difficult path. And so we need to make it easier on all of us, because you know, the easier it is, the more people that will go down the path, and then the more sort of energy and resources that people like myself and Brave Books can provide. And but I guess my high level thing is the government can be up to whatever the government wants to be up to, but at the end of the day, we have to overcome it and do right by our kiddos.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. Because it can get overwhelming when you start thinking about it. You know, how could I grow my own food, or, you know, get my own water source, find a heat source, make sure we're protected, and, you know, learn survival skills. And most of those things, like, they are great things and they can be goals, but it's important to not get overwhelmed with that feeling too, that you need to know everything all at one time. Like, we can take small steps to get there. And starting this podcast for me was a step in that direction. And, you know, letting go of the government job, that's a huge feat. So people look at me like I'm crazy, but I'm like, no, I need to talk to more homeschooling families, because I think this is bigger than we know. You know, and until you immerse yourself in it, you don't realize how big the homeschooling community is and how big homeschooling is across our country. Like, especially when I go to soccer and everyone's like, what school do you go to? What school do you go to? And, you know, I'm like, we're homeschooled. They kind of look at you like, oh. But, you know, then I did see another homeschooling family there from a local co-op. And I was like, all right, okay, there's a few of us out here.
Right.
But, yeah, being able to live self-sustainably one day, like, that's great. And that's great for you to want to teach your kids that and have the goal to get there. But bring it back down on a level that's just one step at a time. What can we do today? Well, today we can homeschool our kids and, you know, find ways that work for us. And then we can incorporate books like Brave Books into just our nightly reading.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I think it is good to have, you know, a vision. And yeah, I think you and I are similar in that we both would love one day to have our own homestead and be completely self-sufficient and all that stuff. I think that's a tremendous goal to have, to not be dependent. But yeah, like you said, that's not going to happen overnight. That's going to take a lifetime of accumulated knowledge, experience, you know, trial and error, all those things. And that's meant to be a journey, you know, and it does start, you know, baby steps, one foot in front of the other. And to me, maybe I'm biased, but I think it really starts with creating a tight-knit family. You know, if you have the family together and those familiar bonds and just the basics of everybody's rock solid character, morality, trust, that will carry you to whatever dreams you have for your family. Yeah, so we can't forget that. You know, we can't put the Instagramification of a greenhouse and the goats and the, all that stuff. We can't put that as like the thing, like that's our salvation, because it's not. There's only one salvation, and you know, I believe. But for the family, it's just it's the basics. It's the trust, the morality, the character of all of the entire family, and the bonds. And so to me, that's the foundation, and then everything goes from there.
Yeah, and it brings it back to needing a community, because to live self-sustainably, I would imagine the easiest way to do that is to have the community around you. And maybe that's where the future is headed, or maybe it'll be like two different kinds of worlds, the 15-minute cities where everyone's on virtual reality machines, and then all of us who have our own communities where, okay, you sew the clothes, I'll teach the kids math, and, you know, they're baling hay over there, and someone's out moving the goats. And, you know, it's interesting to think about, but bringing it back to the roots, like you said, the family, and then as your community gets bigger, that kind of becomes your family too, because having those bonds, you know, I think that does a lot for a child's ability to feel safe. If they felt safe when they were young, and which I would imagine would be more so being left with a parent or, you know, a grandparent than at a daycare with a stranger. And, you know, I think about that when I'm home with both of my kids right now. My daughter never had to go through that. And it's interesting to think about like the safety that was built inside of her. I don't know if safe is the right word, but you know, having that bond or closeness to someone, I wonder, like, did I mess up my son too much by sending him to the daycare? But I think having the perspective of the parent that sent a child to daycare and one who left her job to stay home is something that I can talk to people about.
Yeah, be easy on yourself. And like, kids are resilient. I mean, I was raised in a daycare, you know, my mom, I want to say she, you know, it's like she went straight back to work after she had me, and not that I'm like all that great. And I was exposed to things I shouldn't have been exposed to at a really early age, and, you know, which messed me up. But if they know the Lord at some point, like, everything's redeemable. But sending them to daycare for a short amount of time, I mean, I think we're made to be pretty darn resilient. And so it's good for parents out there to not beat yourself up, you know, and don't be too hard on yourself. Like if you look back, I'm sure, on how you were raised, or, you know, your friends were raised, like, I bet you're doing a terrific job. Sounds like it to me, so.
Yeah, they're okay. Bringing God into it to learn, you know, going through the process and reading the Bible. You know, we have a couple of children's Bibles. A couple that I started with were like a little frightening. I think they were more the Old Testament. What I really like is the Jesus Storybook Bible. That one is just so sweet to read. It's been a really cool process to kind of relearn, or, you know, actually probably learn for the first time what was, you know, in the Bible, and think about it in terms that I can talk with my son about. And, you know, we lost my father earlier this year, and I saw the whole process differently than the rest of my family.
Yeah. I mean, what we're seeing in today's culture is a product of, we've drifted away as a culture from God, and you see what happens. Like, things don't get better without God. They get much more chaotic and worse. And you can take that to your own personal life. And without God, things are chaotic, and it's just worse. In so many ways, it's worse. I know that personally from my life's experience. Things were much, much worse and are so much better now, after I was saved. I was saved 5 years ago. And it's the truth. And there are there's countless reasons to get to know the Lord, and for us to want our kids to know the Lord. And you touched on the Jesus Storybook Bible. I love that resource. I love that book. You know, I guess I was saved five years ago. So I would say I'm still relatively young Christian, and the way that book's written is so just simple, and how it brings the gospel, you know, the cross, to every aspect of the Bible, all the stories in the Old Testament. It's so beautiful, and it's great for me personally. Like, I read that often to my kiddos, and I get so much from it as well. Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it. And for those listening, bravebooks.com is the place to go if you're interested in subscribing to our Freedom on the Book Club, and hope you'll give it a shot. It's a great resource.
All right. Well, I'm going to put the link in our show's description so that people can easily find you.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you, Trent. Thank you so much for being here today. And thank you for the work that you're doing.
Appreciate it. My pleasure. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you've enjoyed what you heard and you'd like to contribute to the show, please consider leaving a small tip using the link in my show's description. Or, if you'd rather, please use the link in the description to share this podcast with a friend or on your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. Any effort to help us keep the podcast going is greatly appreciated. Thank you for tuning in and for your love of the next generation.